Hi, I'm Dan Webster, film critic for Spokane Public Radio and blogger for Spokesman.com.
And I'm Mary Pat Truthart, part-time film critic, part-time attendee at the Palm Springs Film Festival.
And I'm Nathan Weinbender, also a film critic for Spokane Public Radio and not in Palm Springs with Dan and Mary Pat.
And welcome to Movies 101, the show that never ceases to stop arguing whether our year-end lists are the so-called best films of the year or merely the best of what we each manage to see. That's always a bone of contention in large part because we live here in the inland Northwest, and we aren't always able to see some of the most acclaimed releases until weeks, sometimes months, into the new year. Still, that never seems to stop us. So sit back for the next half hour or so as each of us shares with you what we most liked about the movies of 2024. Okay, which one of you two wants to go start off?
I will start, and I will start by kind of taking the pulse of everyone in the room about 2024 as a movie year, because we always kind of look back at, you know, everything we saw.
Good, not great.
Well, okay, you thought it was good, not great. What about
not
you?
My favorite.
Yeah, I had a hard time coming up with the top 10 list. Usually it's because I have too many choices and I can't narrow it down. This year it was like, okay, what do I have here that could be in the 9th or 10th places? I felt like there were a lot of really good movies, but very few movies that felt instantly top 10 worthy to me. Because we do kind of think about that throughout the year.
Yeah. Right. Perfect Days.
Yeah, yeah. So it was kind of hard, but there was still a lot of good to choose from. And I have a feeling there won't be a whole lot of overlap on each of our lists.
Well, and maybe not.
And I will say this. This is the first time that we've done this in a long time, maybe ever. But I don't know what's on either of your lists. You don't know what's on my list. So we're all going to be surprised
together.
We
don't even know what's on one another's final list.
Yeah. Okay. So this, you'll be hearing us reacting in real time. So I don't know. Maybe I'll start with, because I always number my list. So I'll go through 10 to 6. How about that?
Fine.
Okay. So here is the first, or the bottom half, I guess, of my top 10. Number 10, A Different Man by Aaron Schimberg, that strange movie with
Sebastian Stan.
Number 9, Jeremy Saulnier's thriller Rebel Ridge. Number 8, Kneecap by Rich Peppiot, the Irish hip-hop musical. Really enjoyed that one. Number 7, a debut feature by India Donaldson called Good One. And number 6, easily the biggest movie of the ones that I've named, George Miller's Furiosa, a Mad Max saga.
Oh, yeah.
So there's my 10 to 6.
So not completely surprised by that list, I have to say. Although it's different from mine. So my list, and I'm just throwing out, not in any particular order, but more or less in maybe descending order. So Dahomey.
Yeah.
Which is one of the most interesting documentaries I've ever seen in my entire life.
And that says something.
Only a little more than an hour long, played at the Magic Lantern. You can find it on streaming. Next, Four Daughters. This is compared to Three Daughters and the other documentary film, Daughters. Kneecap.
Okay, there we go.
All We Imagine is Light and A Real Pain.
A Real Pain. Okay, yeah. Well, that didn't make any of my list, not even my also-rans.
You may be hearing about it in the second half of the show from me.
At any rate, I'm going to start with, I didn't do mine in any order either, but I'll do the list in which I have them on the page. I'll begin with Close Your Eyes, the film by veteran Spanish filmmaker Victor Erice. Sing Sing, the Greg Quadar film about the New York prison acting class. His Three Daughters by writer-director Azazel Jacobs. Flo, the Latvian filmmaker Gints Zilbelodis' film about the cats and the dogs and other animals.
The capybaras.
Yeah, ring-tailed lemurs.
Yeah.
And here's one of the first ones, Good One, India Donaldson's film, which I just absolutely loved.
Well, I think of the ones that we've talked about just now, I would love to focus on Kneecap and Good One, because I think those are two movies that have really gotten overlooked. And when we talked about them on the show, it was one of those things where I really liked both of those movies. But then after talking about them, I realized I liked them a whole lot more than I thought I did. And with Kneecap, and I think that just showed up on Netflix, so I'm hoping more people see that. But it's about this trio of hip-hop musicians in Ireland, and they sing in the Irish language.
Northern Ireland.
Yes, and it's these songs about partying and recreational drugs, and the guys, it's a real band, and the guys in the band play themselves in this fictional movie, three incredible performances from three non-actors. Michael Fassbender is in there to kind of give it a little bit of
Hollywood. I think it's important to point out that even though what they're rapping about is the same thing that American rappers rap about, getting women, using drugs, fighting the cops and everything, the very fact that they are rapping in Gaelic, in Irish, is a political act.
Absolutely. And their music is being silenced because of it. And so I really hope that people find Kneecap.
Yeah, I like this a lot.
That made my also-ran list.
Yeah. And then good one, I understand, MP, that you just saw
I just saw it.
And there may be a difference of opinion on
this movie. Well, that was a tough one because it's about a girl who goes on a backpacking trip with her dad and his best friend. And so things happen and don't happen. And then something happens. And I was just like the adults in the group. I was like, no, 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 no. Yeah. But at any rate, I thought her performance was great. Yeah. And she was
Lily
unknown
Coleus.
To me.
Lily
right?
Coleus. Yeah.
She was unknown to me. And James LeGros, I mean, who would have thought that he would morph into, you know, sort of almost a character actor.
Yeah. And I saw that movie as, well, first of all, I think of my list, it's probably the smallest film, not only in terms of scale, but in terms of budget, in terms of its release. I saw it as a movie about this young woman sort of being confronted by the adult world, particularly the adult male world, for the first time, really, and kind of getting a glimpse into the disappointment and the jadedness of these two guys who have, at least her father, of course, has been part of her life for forever. And this guy seems to also be someone that's been, you know, in
like
the,
an uncle.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then watching
you need to say
them,
that actor is Danny McCarthy.
He's so good
he
in this
is
movie.
So really good.
And unexpected in a lot of ways. Yeah. And again, when we say something happens, it's not violent. It's not anything like that. But it feels like such a betrayal.
For her.
Yes.
And what's more important is not so much what that happens. It's that when she reveals it to her dad,
yes,
her dad blows it off. And it's like, oh,
and so
man,
there's another
there's
betrayal.
The heart of the film
yes,
right there.
And the movie, I think a lot of people would say, well, nothing really happened in that movie. And I think a lot happened.
No, I agree with that.
They might say the same thing about one of the films on my list, which is Three Daughters, which I think is an amazing film. His Three Daughters, starring Carrie Coon, Natasha Lyonne, and Elizabeth Olsen, is three sisters, one half-sister, the Lyonne character, who are in together in the apartment that she shares with their father, and he's dying. And it's their relationship, and the coming and going, ups and downs, and it's got a magical, realistic part to it. I just thought it was a wonderful movie.
Well, I'd like to give a shout out to Four Daughters that was on my list because it's a film that plays with that notion of documentary filmmaking. And maybe it's a conceit that doesn't work for some people, but it's about a woman in Tunisia whose two older daughters go and join ISIS. And so she's left at home with her younger daughters. But the interesting twist of this film is all of the protagonists in this film are played by the real people and
actresses.
Also by actresses.
Right.
So, and they sort of go back and forth and in and out. And yeah. I just thought this was like masterful in the way that it was handled. And so I was very intrigued by it.
Shades of the Act of Killing.
True.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Except that there was no real violence in this
right,
one.
Right. Well, it's all off screen.
Yeah.
I will also say that His Three Daughters, you may be hearing more about that movie from me in the second half of the show because I'm a fan of it too. I want to point out, I have two action movies on my list. I always try and find some kind of genre picture, I guess, that, you know, stands above the rest. And I think both Rebel Ridge and Furiosa is more of a pure action film than something like Rebel Ridge, which is more of a kind of Southern fried drive-in kind of movie with lots of ideas. I just think both of those films, well, Rebel Ridge, for one, I think is such an amazing contemporary snapshot of America right now. But it's done in a way that's really entertaining and really surprising, whereas Furiosa is just, you know, you have the greatest living, maybe, action filmmaker just going back to this world that he created and deepening it and making it even richer. And I don't think it's as great as something like Mad Max Fury Road, but I think it makes Fury Road even better.
No, it's quite good. And what's her face?
Anya Taylor-Joy.
Yeah, see, I was not a fan of her performance in this. Yeah. And so that's what didn't work for me.
That's only because you can't see this little teeny actress becoming Charlize Theron, the Furiosa that was in the other film.
Maybe true, but and here's the deal. I have not yet seen Rebel Ridge.
Oh, okay.
And so I have to put that on my immediate watch list.
It's really good. Yeah. It's really good. And it's on Netflix.
I wanted to point out about my list. You know, I always have this trouble with what's the best film of the year. These, I only came up with 9 of them, by the way, and then 5 also-rans. But to me, they're the films that stayed with me, that had an impact on me, that I looked at over the years, and I went, that is something strange, different, something unnerving, something, and we'll get to that in my second list.
Okay.
Some of those. So at any rate, I think we're ready to take a break, aren't we? And that was the first half of our annual Best Films list. This is Movies 101, and it's time to take a short break. Before we go, remember that you can access podcast and Movies 101 by going online at SpokanePublicRadio.org. While there, check out the individual reviews that Nathan and I write. Don't do it now, though, because we'll be right back to finish up our lists and offer any last thoughts regarding the movies of 2024. You're listening to Movies 101 on Spokane Public Radio.
Peter Sagal here from Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. If you're a member of this NPR station, thank you. It means a lot. Now, if you were looking for another way to help the station, you could, I don't know, call up all your friends and ask them to donate on your behalf repeatedly at all hours of the day and night until they just give in to get rid of you or block your number. Or you could just donate a vehicle you no longer need. It's up to you. Annoy your friends or free up space in your garage. Your choice.
Visit SpokanePublicRadio.org. Thank you.
And we're back. This is Movies 101, and I'm your host, Dan Webster. During the first half of the show, Mary Pat Truthart, Nathan Weinbinder, and I ran through a number of the films that we considered the best of what we saw in 2024. Let's continue on the same theme and round out our choices. Nathan, you started off the first time, so Mary Pat, why don't you take the lead this time?
You're going to see a bit of a crossover here, so not in any particular order. I have Sing Sing, Emilia Perez, Flo, Anora, and Robot Dreams. On my second list, I also have Inside Out 2, and I have not yet seen Wild Robot, so it could have ended up that I had like 4 animated films on my list, which is unheard of because usually I gravitate toward the doc. So that in and of itself is something that I think stands out for me among those films.
All right, and then I'll go with the top half of my top 10 here. At number 5, I also have Anora by Sean Baker. Number 4, Luca Guadagnino's Challengers. Number 3, a movie that I think both of you hated and I think is tremendous, which is La Chimera by Elise Rohrwacher, that strange Fellini-esque movie about grave robbers in Italy. Number 2, we mentioned it before, His Three Daughters by Azazel Jacobs. And my number 1 film of the year, we just talked about it a few weeks ago, A Real Pain by Jesse Eisenberg.
Okay, now I'll start off. I only have 4. I couldn't come up with 10, but I have several also-rans. And the first two I'll go is really simple ones. Robot Dreams. I just absolutely love that movie by the Spanish filmmaker. I can't remember his name, and I didn't write it down at any rate. And then A Complete Unknown. We talked about it last week. I really loved it. Nathan was not so hot on it, but whatever. And then the final two. And these are weird ones, and it's like I was saying, these are movies that stayed with me all year long.
This is exciting.
The first is Strange Darling, J.T. Moulner's film that is told out of sequence, and it just blows you out of your seat.
It's an amazing movie,
Strange Darling. And then my top film of the year, Joker, Folie à Deux.
What?
Todd Phillips' film.
I knew it was coming.
To the 2019 film Joker. And like Emilia Perez, it takes a standard film, but it has social commentary. It has commentary on superhero films. And it's a musical, which is what's so bizarre and so affecting about Emilia Perez. Same thing for Joker.
Okay, so why didn't either of you have Emilia Perez on your list?
It's on my second list.
I didn't think it worked all the way through. Yeah. I thought it was inspired in places and extremely stupid in other places, but I actually kind of liked the stupid parts more than the inspired parts.
Okay,
I want to talk about Joker too, because since that movie came out, and I remember when I went to see it, because the word on it was so bad, I thought, this feels like a movie that people are instantly going to start like rallying around and saying it's actually not as bad as everyone says it is. In the last few weeks, multiple people have told me that they saw Joker 2 and they really liked it. John Waters put it on his top 10 list
so
of the
Dan
year.
Was so way, way ahead so of the
you're,
curve.
You're absolutely. In, you're in, well, I don't want to say good company, but you're in company. and, you know, my only problems with Joker 2 was that, just minor things. I didn't like the way it was directed. I didn't like the way it was written. I didn't like the way it was shot.
Oh, just minor things.
Did you like the performances?
They were fine. And I thought that the Harley Quinn character was basically a non-entity in that film. But you know what? It's one of those movies that I guess I'm glad it got made because it is such a bizarre, you know, swing for the fences that I don't think works at all. It's a movie that...
And those are the kinds of movies that you normally love.
Yes, yes. No, I know. But I don't have to like a movie just because it's a big swing, you know.
That's true.
But it's a movie that on paper I would be all for. And it just... I don't think Todd Phillips directed that movie well at all. So that's my issue with it.
I want to jump in and say that my also-rans, one was Daughters, the documentary film about the daddy-daughter dance. Dee Dee, the Sean Wang film. Emilia Perez, Daddy-O, which was the Sean Penn, Dakota Johnson film.
I like that too.
Okay, good. Kneecap.
And on my also-ran, I had Hitman.
Okay, Richard Linklater's film.
Dee Dee. Inside Out 2, and Challengers.
Okay, great. I'll throw out some more honorable mentions that haven't come up yet. A movie that I think is getting totally overlooked, and I don't really know why, Steve McQueen's film Blitz, his World War II film, which I thought was really lovely. I also had Close Your Eyes. A really strange Romanian film by the director Radu Jude called Do Not Expect Too Much from the End of the World.
That is an amazing film. Yeah. That is hard to describe.
It's really crazy. It's the kind of movie that I wouldn't recommend to just anyone.
No, right.
But if this is your kind of movie,
wow.
Especially since it's 2 hours and 49 minutes long. Yeah.
And the last scene of the movie is almost that full 49 minutes, and it's one shot that goes on and
try
on
to explain that film to somebody.
So it's about this woman who is basically a production assistant for a film or a documentary that's being made. And
a company that films people who have experienced workplace injuries.
Yes. And so they're making these kind of testimonial films about these things. And the first 2 hours is just her driving around Romania
in her stick shift car.
Yes. And making these really foul, like, TikTok videos where she's saying some of the most heinous stuff you've ever seen in this kind of like alpha male character that she plays.
And meanwhile, she's wearing this sparkly New Year's Eve kind of outfit with her sort of bleach blonde
hair. And
she's
like hungover and chewing gum. Yeah. And it's about her going around and meeting these people that could potentially be in these testimonial videos. And it's also in conversation with an older Romanian film that's about a woman taxi driver.
Yeah.
It's really, really strange and compelling and perhaps overlong. And certainly in very poor taste.
But it was wild. It was wild.
It's something else. I also want to call out Dune Part 2, which I really liked. And I also want to give a shout out to The Substance by Coralie Fargeot. You want to talk about wild, out there movies?
I'm glad you talked about The Substance because that brings up my list of the weirdest films of 2024.
I thought you were going to say the worst.
One was The Beast.
Oh,
another was Tuesday.
Ooh. Yeah.
Long Legs.
Uh-huh.
Cuckoo.
Okay.
The Substance, Kinds of Kindness, and Sasquatch Sunset. Those are the weirdest films I saw in 2024.
I thought Sasquatch Sunset was last year because I think I had it on my list last year.
Yeah, maybe.
I'm just
and
saying.
Well, speaking of last year, the best 2023 films that we saw in 2024.
Because they were delayed releases.
Exactly. Yeah. Perfect Days, Io Capitano, 20 Days in Mariupol, All of Us Strangers, and The Teacher's Lounge.
Okay.
Yeah.
Those were films that we all did like in March.
Yeah. Perfect Days is my favorite of those.
Perfect Days. Absolutely.
To see The Brutalist.
Yeah.
You know, and also The Seed of the Sacred Fig.
And Nickel Boys as well.
Yeah.
And the new Pedro Almodovar, the new Mike Lee. There's so many movies that are showing up on these year-end top 10 lists in big cities that we don't have yet. I also wanted to call out, you specifically said that my number one movie, A Real Pain, did not make your list or any of your runners-up. You know why I didn't put your number one movie on my list. Why didn't you put my number one movie on yours?
Oh, I thought it was good, but I just didn't think it was great.
Okay. It's a very modest film. It's a very modest film. I went back and saw it a second time and really loved it.
And maybe if I did that. There were good scenes in it. I think that Kieran Culkin was quite good, although apparently he didn't do much more than he ever did in the series
Succession.
And, you know, what I wanted to talk about was what were your biggest disappointments of 2024? I have two of them.
Go ahead.
Horizon and American Saga Part 1,
oh, God.
The Kevin Costner Western. It was just wretched. and Megalopolis.
Oh, well, Megalopolis, you know.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
Pour one out for Megalopolis. I thought about putting it in my top 10 just to ruffle some feathers, but I can't.
That made some people's top
10
list.
Yeah, and I think it's because of the sheer erratic vision of it, which is what I responded to as
well. Wasn't it on Richard Brody's? But of course, he's a famous contrarian.
And Manola Dargis in the New York Times. Well, I was really disappointed. I mean, we just talked about it, but Nosferatu by Robert Eggers, I was really looking forward to that, and it just didn't work for me. So that's one.
So what about the year as a whole?
I'm going to give it like a B+, because there are a lot of...
I think that's a little generous.
Well, I think I'm looking at my honorable mentions, and there are a lot of really like good B+ movies that came out. I also think we haven't seen a lot of the really great
ones.
Right.
I know.
Yeah, that's true.
You know,
hard truth.
The bigger cities got.
Yeah. So I would say the plus is because of the Joker Folia Deux.
Yeah, that was it.
And I didn't get a chance to talk about All We Imagine Is Light.
Well, we'll get to talk about that soon. It's coming out soon. So you got to see that early. Should we go through? Should we go through?
Yeah. You begin. Go ahead.
Okay. From 10 to 1, A Different Man, Rebel Ridge, Kneecap, Good One, Furiosa, A Mad Max Saga, Anora, Challengers, La Chimera, His Three Daughters, and number one, A Real Pain.
For me, Sing Sing, Amelia Perez, Flo, Anora, Robot Dreams, A Real Pain, All We Imagine Is Light, Kneecap, Four Daughters, and Dahomey.
And finally for me, Close Your Eyes, Sing Sing, His Three Daughters, Flo, Good One, Strange Darling, Robot Dreams, A Complete Unknown, and the very, very underappreciated Joker Folie à Deux.
And it's still underappreciated in this room.
Yeah, by Philistines.
Yeah, that's the problem.
Yeah, exactly. And that was our list of the best films that each of us saw in 2024. And this is Movies 101. I'm Dan Webster. And I'm joined, as always, by my co-hosts, Nathan Weinbender and Mary Pat Truthart. Let's take this moment again, as always, to thank Cassia Fox for both producing and engineering the show. And we thank you to our loyal listeners. We invite you back next week, same time, same spot on the radio dial, when we'll forge on into the year 2025, checking out all the best that cinema has to offer, wherever we can find it. Until then, consider these words from the author Orson Scott Card. In America, film is the highest form of art that the public aspires to. People will come to me and say, "Oh, your book was so good, they ought to make a movie out of it." To which I reply, "Well, why? It's already a book." You're listening to Movies 101 on Spokane Public Radio.
The Movies 101 podcast is made possible by the members of Spokane Public Radio. Become a member at SpokanePublicRadio.org. Thanks for listening to Movies 101.